For our scripture reading this morning, let's turn to Psalm 103. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses, and we ask you to join together as you read the even-numbered verses, and let's stand as we read the Word of God, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always chide, and neither will he keep his anger forever.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust.
As for man, well, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth.
For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more.
But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them.
The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure.
Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let's pray. Father, that's our very purpose of being here today, is to bless your name, to bless you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for all of the benefits that we have received, Lord, from your hand. And Lord, as we have gathered here today, thanking you for all of the goodness that you've displayed, we're especially thankful, Lord, because you've saved us from our sin. You've redeemed us, Lord, from our lost condition. And now we have that hope of eternal life with you. So, Lord, bless, we pray. Open now our hearts to receive your word, your truth. And may we go forth from this place today blessing you and praising you, Lord, for all of your wonderful works and your goodness to us. And so, Lord, we commit now the word of God, let it just penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing to move through the Bible. And this week we are in the Gospel according to Luke, chapters 18 and 19. And so we encourage you to read them over this afternoon. Join with us tonight as we continue our journey through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and we're moving now toward the Gospel according to Luke. A few more weeks in Luke, then moving on to the Gospel of John. So this morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verse 10, where Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We have, as Christians, a great many reasons to be thankful. And it seems strange to me that God would have to command in Colossians 3:15, and be ye thankful. Seems to me that's just a no-brainer. When you start thinking of all that God has given to us, all that God has done for us, thanksgiving is just sort of a natural response to the goodness of God and the love of God and the blessings that he's bestowed. There are so many reasons to be thankful. We are thankful for what he is. Sometimes, in the scriptures, some 40 times, we are called on to be thankful to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for his presence. As David said, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Oh, how God has provided, and he is so patient with me, and he is just, the Lord is, well, just the bountiful blessings. Give thanks to the Lord for his love. John tells us in 15:13, greater love has no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said that. John quotes it for him. We give thanks for his kindness. For in Psalm 117, he tells us, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of God endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. We give thanks to God for what he has done. As we've just read in Psalm 103, who forgiveth all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Even that, to me, is a blessing. That the psalmist didn't say, as far as the north is from the south. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, it's a big difference. You go north only so far, and you're going to hit the North Pole. And the moment you hit the North Pole, you're going to be going south. And you go south so far until you hit the South Pole, and then you're going north again. And so we know that it's probably just about 25,000 miles or 30,000 perhaps from the north to the South Pole. And so that's how far your sins would be removed. But if you go east, you can go east the rest of your life, and you'll still be going east. You never hit the East Pole. You never hit the West Pole. They just aren't there. And so as far as the east is from the west, I'm glad he's removed my sins that far away that I don't have to face them anymore. This is the time of the year when we are starting to think about God loving us so much he sent his son into this world to die for our sins. We will be approaching in the next month Good Friday and the Easter Sunday. And on Good Friday, as we remember, you know, the death of Jesus for us, it brings us to our text, the purpose of his coming. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here in the story in Luke chapter 19, Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Within 2 weeks, he'll be hanging on the cross there in Jerusalem. He has come to seek and to save those who are lost. As he is passing through Jericho, the crowd following him and the stir of the crowd, there is a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus there sitting by the side of the road. hearing all of these people passing by and all of the, you know, the conversations, he said, "What's going on?" And they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's coming by." Bartimaeus began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the people around him said, "Quiet, blind man." And he just actually shouted all the louder and all the more persistently, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stood still. And he called for Bartimaeus to come to him. And they said to Bartimaeus, "He's calling for you." And Bartimaeus came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "What would you like me to do?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus. But there in Jericho, there was another man. His name was Zacchaeus. He was a man who was probably the most hated man in all of Jericho because he was the tax collector. And with the Roman government, the tax collectors were given so much taxes that they should raise from a community. And once they hit the amount that the Roman government required, everything that they could get beyond that was theirs. And so these guys were really after the people to really force them into their taxes. And thus, Zacchaeus was hated of the people, and he couldn't really mix with the crowd. But he's a curious little guy. And hearing that Jesus is coming, he wants to see Jesus so desperately, but he knows that he dare not mix with the crowd because he's just a short little guy and he's just a tax collector hated. And so he decided that he would climb a tree and wait for Jesus to walk past and that he would get a view of him as he was walking past. To his amazement, when Jesus came to the tree, he stopped and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus hanging on the branch up there. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have lunch with you today." And so as Jesus was heading off with Zacchaeus for lunch, the people began to complain. They said, "Look at that. He's going to eat with sinners." And that is when Jesus said, almost as an apology to the crowd, "Don't you know that's what I came here for? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who were lost." So the coming of Jesus, his purpose for his coming, announced there to the crowd because he was going to eat with a sinner, little Zacchaeus. But what does it mean to be lost? Do you know that sin can get such a stranglehold upon a person that the devil begins to hold you as a slave to your sin? The Bible speaks about the bondage of corruption. And corruption can have a great hold on a person's life, the bondage of corruption. We see so many people around us enslaved by sin. I believe that Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin. And in the power of sin, you are lost, but he came to set you free. And so he came seek and to save those who were lost. Many people today are sinning, not because they want to. In fact, there are some who actually hate the things that they are doing. They realize that what they're doing is wrong. Their conscience is telling them, "You shouldn't be doing that. That's not right." And they know that. And they would like to quit, but they can't. They've tried to quit. They've tried counting to 10. They've tried chewing gum and everything else, but they just can't quit, you know. The power of sin has such a hold upon them. I believe that Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin. Today, the term freedom is a very popular term. We hear it very much in the world. The world is seeking a freedom that they talk about, but the freedom that is being sought in the world is quite often the worst kind of bondage that you could ever be in. We hear about the sexual revolution and people who are wanting that kind of a revolution, the freedom to do whatever you want to do without any conscience or without any feelings of guilt. And so they're trying to pass off feelings of guilt or whatever on the things that you allow or things you do. But, you know, they want to do what they want to do with no one saying, shame on you. That's not right. That's bad. We hate that word, bad. And so I have a freedom that is really much better than the freedom they have, and I have the freedom not to do it. But that's something they don't have. They have to do it because they are in the bondage of corruption. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it means that, first of all, I'm saved from the penalty of sin. God has said that the soul that sins shall surely die. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. John wrote, this is a record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son, and he that has the Son has life. And so it means to be saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. But what is sin? Well, sin is anything that you do that is harmful to you personally or to others around you. Anything that has a polluting effect upon your mind. I'm saved from the harmful, hurtful, polluting effect of sin. I'm saved from the power of sin ruling over my life. Jesus said he came to seek and to save those who were lost. We've heard of people who have lost their health, and that's a tragedy. We know of others who have lost their fortunes, and that is really a sad thing, especially if they're to the age where they can't regain or restore their fortunes. Still others who have lost their reputations by some stupid thing that they've done. It brings a sorrow always to lose a loved one. But Jesus is talking about the worst loss of all. There's nothing worse that you can lose than the loss of your own soul. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? I would much rather go through life as a pauper, having to beg for every morsel of bread that I ate, and when I died, entered into the eternal bliss with my Lord, than to be the richest man in the world, and when I die, discover that I was lost eternally. It means that you're out of touch with God. Paul describes it in Ephesians 4:17. If you're without Christ, he said you are walking as a heathen, empty-headed, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that has caused a blindness in your heart, being past feeling and giving yourselves over to lasciviousness, being impure and filled with greed. You say, well, that's not me. Well, I beg your pardon. You can tell me that. I won't believe it. But if your wife tells me that, then I'll think, whoa, he must be quite a guy. But you're first of all lost to God. You're not fulfilling the purpose of your existence. You're lost to your family. You're not giving them that which will cause them to experience their most important need, and that's the need of Jesus Christ to cleanse them from their sin and to give them hope for eternal life. If you're only providing for the material needs of your family, then you are doing your family a great disservice. If you're failing to lead them in a spiritual path to a relationship with God, you're just helping them and abetting them to spend eternity in hell. So you're a loss to yourself, you're a loss to your family, you're a loss to God, you're a loss to the church. The church was intended by God to bring good and wholesome influence into this world in which we live and to retard the rotting process of sin. When is a person lost? Well, if you're without Christ, you're lost right now. Should you die today without Christ, you would be lost. Paul said, if you are living just for pleasure, you are dead while you're still alive. You will be lost in death. When they pull the plug and pull the sheet up over your head and they go out to inform the family that they've done all that they can do medically and they're sorry, but you just died, you're lost in death. You'll be lost before the great white throne judgment of God in heaven, as John tells us in Revelation chapter 20. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven had fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great. They were standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. From John's description, it doesn't take much imagination to picture that day when you are standing before God and before his throne, the creator of the universe. Your name is called. You have to step up. And search will be made through the book of life, and the angel will record, names not here. And so you'll be questioned. God will say, why did you believe on my son, Jesus Christ? And you might say, well, there were so many churches, I didn't know which was the right church. He'll say, I didn't tell you to believe in a church. I told you to believe in my son. You'll say, well, there were so many hypocrites in the church, and I just can't stand hypocrites. And the Lord will say, my son was not a hypocrite, and you rejected him. And he will turn to the angel, the recording angel, and he'll say to him, write. And there'll be that pause, that silence, and then God will give those words, lost. And that horrible realization, I had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. I don't have to be condemned, but I chose not to make that decision to surrender my life to him, and lost forever from the hope of salvation because you rejected the love of God and God's gift to you, salvation through Jesus Christ. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost, but yet his coming was in vain if you haven't received him. It's just as well that he had stayed in heaven and not come and hung on the cross for you, because you have rejected the plan of God and the purpose of his coming of redeeming and saving those who are lost. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes is not condemned. But he who believes not is condemned already, seeing he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, and neither will he come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What must I do to be saved? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, and you shall be saved. And that was the purpose for his coming. That was the reason he died upon the cross, that through faith in him, you can be saved from the penalty of sin and from the result of sin, the damning result of sin in your life. What must you do to be lost? Nothing. Just continue as you are without Jesus Christ. Just exclude him from your life. Go ahead, live as you are, a self-centered person, fulfilling the fleshly desires and ignoring Jesus. And one day, you'll wake up lost forever. Oh, how we need to be thankful to God for sending his Son into this world, that he might seek and to save those who were lost. And that's our testimony. Once we were lost, but now we are saved from the judgment of God, from the condemnation for our sins, because of what Jesus has done for us. He came to seek and to save you who are lost today. Now, you can't, when you stand before God, say, "Well, Lord, I really didn't know." He'll say, "Just a minute. You were in church in Santa Ana on a Sunday morning, you know, and you heard the pastor get up and tell you that I came to seek and to save those who were lost, and you rejected the message. And so you will be without excuse. I mean, it'll just be wiped out from under you. You get, sorry, you know, well, sorry won't do it when you're there." So, now is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. Call upon the Lord while he is near. And, you know, lest the evil days shall come when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." And so we are encouraging you today, if you haven't yet made your decision for Jesus Christ, this is the day. This is the time. This is the opportunity. We're going to give it to you just a moment, that opportunity to just open your heart and to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus, we thank you for coming. We thank you for the price that you paid, for the suffering on the cross, that we might have the forgiveness and remission of our sins. And Lord, today we pray that there will be many who, having heard the truth, your word spoken to them, let their hearts, Lord, be open, and let them open their hearts, Lord, to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Bless, we pray, Father, now, and we can thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front for the purpose of praying with you who would like to receive Jesus Christ today as your Lord and as your Savior. The greatest decision you will ever make in your entire life. In fact, how can you compare this decision? Because it's not only this life, it's the future, it's your eternity. And so, I would encourage you, as we're dismissed, they're here to pray with you, to minister to you. Any questions or whatever, just come on down, and they're here to just minister to you today. Take advantage of it, and then meet you in heaven, and it'll be a good story when we get there. So God bless you. Great to be with you and just loving the Lord with all of our hearts. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. God bless you.